I'm Marty Moscoane. Welcome back to Radio Times.
I am standing here resolved to do my job and do what I'm supposed to do. But I am a very sad person today. That's the emotion I feel. A person close to me betrayed me. A person who I counted on and trusted for 5 years betrayed me. A person who I gave a high government office to betrayed me. I probably will get angry at some point, but I got to tell you the truth. I'm sad.
That was a much less combative Chris Christie apologizing yesterday for actions by his staff that resulted in 4 days of gridlock in Fort Lee, New Jersey in early September. He said he knew nothing and was duped by his staff. The release of damning emails on Wednesday revealed that his deputy chief of staff, Bridget Ann Kelly, had instigated the shutdown of two lanes to the George Washington Bridge with her now infamous email, "Time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee." David Wildstein, Christie's appointee at the Port Authority, quickly responded, "Got it." Christie fired Kelly yesterday because she had lied to him. He also pressured former campaign manager Bill Stepien to withdraw from consideration to head the New Jersey Republican Party. Wildstein and another Christie appointee to the Port Authority, Bill Baroni, resigned late last year. Yesterday, Wildstein took the fifth at a hearing at the State Assembly. Chris Christie took many questions at his nearly two-hour-long press conference, but many still remain. We have two guests who have joined us. Ross Baker is a professor of political science at Rutgers University at the New Brunswick campus. He's a member of the board of contributors at USA Today, also was scholar in residence in the office of Majority Leader Harry Reid back in 2012. And Ross Baker, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thanks very much, Marty. Always a pleasure.
Also with us is Jenna Portnoy, and she covers Governor Christie for the Newark Star-Ledger. And Jenna Portnoy, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Nice to be here.
Jenna, you have covered, I'm sure, many press conferences held by Governor Chris Christie. Describe the atmosphere in the room yesterday.
Well, it was packed. You know, national media has descended on Trenton for this scandal. And in a lot of ways, what we saw was vintage Chris Christie. He was emotional. He was direct. He tried to, you know, get people to understand what he was dealing with. And he said he was sorry, which we rarely hear from the governor.
A less combative Chris Christie, would you say?
I think so, yeah. He definitely tried to, you know, like you mentioned, right out of the gate, he apologized and took full responsibility, something I think people like to see from politicians and rarely do.
Russ, let me get you into the conversation. And the word sad showed up a lot yesterday, humiliated, but he kept going back to sadness. How do you see how he was framing his emotions yesterday?
Well, Marty, you know, self-awareness is really not one of the salient qualities in politicians. But one of the things that struck me was how little self-awareness there was in all of the apologies that Governor Christie uttered yesterday. For example, there was a question which I think needed to be answered, which was, are you most concerned about the fact that you were lied to by Bridget Ann Kelly, or did you think about the possibility that the atmosphere that you created was really what gave rise to this kind of tactic, this kind of politics of vengeance, such as the punishment for the mayor of Fort Lee? And you know, that's the question I think nearly needs to be answered. And I think that if the environment around Governor Christie is one in which people, although not directly ordered to do so, are incentivized emotionally to kind of kneecap your opposition, you know, I think that's an important thing to know.
Well, you know, picking up on that, Ross, and I thought it was interesting that while he fired Kelly yesterday, he apparently didn't ask her any questions about why she did what she did, at least according to what he said.
That's right. I mean, I think he kind of, you know, wanted to be able to go in front of a news conference and say heads have rolled, mistakes were made, which of course was an often repeated phrase of the governor's. But I mean, I just think there's just so much more to it than this one incident. You know, there's just a whole history of activities which really, I think, even transcend the usual kind of political payback and really amount to a kind of vendetta mentality.
Well, let me go back to you, Jen, and actually take us back to Fort Lee, New Jersey. This is what, September 9th? It's the first day of school. There's an alleged traffic study, although apparently there was no traffic study, but nonetheless, two lanes were blocked. Describe for us what Fort Lee looked like.
It was a traffic nightmare. You know, kids couldn't get to school, teachers couldn't get to class, people couldn't get to their jobs. It handicapped the town for hours and then days. Chris Christie has not made it clear that he is willing to get to the bottom of this. I asked him yesterday if he was committed to finding out why the lanes were closed, if this traffic study was a figment of everyone's imagination, and he said he would try, but he made no guarantees. People in Fort Lee are not happy with that answer.
Well, and I mean, do we know the answer to the question? Was there a traffic study? Jenna?
We don't know at this point. No, I mean, it doesn't look like it. The emails that came out certainly imply that political retribution was at the bottom of all this.
Political retribution to a mayor of a city that did not endorse the governor. Is that a takeaway, Jenna, for you?
Yes, the mayor is a Democrat. Christie based his reelection strategy in part on getting Democrats to endorse him, the Republican mm-hmm. governor of New Jersey. He had 60-some elected officials do so, but the Fort Lee mayor mm-hmm. would not.
Let me pick up on that, Ross, because, I mean, there's so many I'm scratching my head here on the radio, but there's so many questions about this, which is there were plenty of other Democrats that did not endorse Governor Christie for re-election. If that indeed was the intent of shutting the traffic, what is the thinking that would go into something like that?
Well, you know, I think that the whole idea of getting the endorsement of Democratic municipal officials was to burnish Governor Christie's effort to build his reputation as bipartisan. I think that's really one of the things he wanted to bring into the presidential campaign of 2016, and that is that this is someone who can bridge differences between the parties. There was a kind of ornamental bipartisanship involved here. And Jenna can correct me on this. I get the sense that of that 60, most of these were mayors from suburban Essex or the Shore communities. suburban Essex being his own
right.
backyard, and the Shore communities being the ones, of course, that were hit so hard by Hurricane Sandy.
That's true, and I should point out that Fort Lee ended up voting for Christie anyway.
Interesting. I mean, there was no question wrong. I mean, it seemed pretty obvious that he was going to win re-election in New Jersey. Do you think he was looking at just the size of that win?
I do. I think people are concerned that this effort to really run up the total, his total win sort of smacks of arrogance. He was up 30 points in the polls at this point in time in September. His challenger, State Senator Barbara Buono, was not a factor, yet the governor's people went to really extraordinary lengths, and people are scratching their heads over why.
Marty, go ahead, Ross.
There's an interesting historical echo here. Did anybody really think in 1972 that George McGovern was going to be elected president of the United States? I don't think anybody believed that. The Democratic Convention was a disaster. The Democratic Party was bankrupt. And what happened was, of course, a bunch of Republican operatives broke into the Watergate. It's the kind of mentality that is, you know, I don't want there to be any possibility at all that I will win by anything less than a resounding vote. It's an incredibly egotistical kind of attitude. And I think that what Governor Christie's people did, you know, in closing down those lanes is very much akin to G. Gordon Liddy and Company in 1972.
I mean, it seems so petty, but frankly, when you think about it, Ross, also very dangerous. And as we know, there were emergency vehicles that couldn't get to people in a timely manner.
Well, that's right. I mean, this was an offense against the daily life of New Jerseyans, which I think was just a terrible thing. And there's one other thing, when Jenna was talking, it sort of occurred to me, and that is that even if there were a legitimate traffic study, if the governor knew that for 4 days the New Jersey end of the George Washington Bridge was so terribly backed up couldn't he just have said suspend the traffic survey and get the traffic moving again? That's something that the most powerful governor in the United States has the ability to do.
Jenna, do you want to add to that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because his answer to that question is sort of summed up by the New York Post headline today, ignorance is Chris, right? He's saying, I didn't know anything. I'm as blindsided as you all are by this the situation.
But as someone who has covered him, Jenna, is he a hands-off kind of governor? Is he a micromanager? Help us understanding his governing style. We know his style out in public, but how do you see his governing style?
He made a point yesterday of saying he isn't a micromanager, but I think the way he's handled certain things in the past shows that might not be the case all the time. You know, something as small as keeping track of when his cabinet members get back to him when he's on his monthly radio show taking questions from residents. You know, he wants his people answerable to him 24/7 whenever he needs them.
You, I'm sure, have interviewed or had contact with Bridget Ann Kelly. Jenna, explain, I guess, how you see her or how you saw her as part of the Christie administration.
Well, I really haven't had a lot of contact with her, and I don't think anybody publicly really has. I mean, she was a very low-profile person, although she was in the senior staff. She didn't have any interaction with the press or with the public at large. I think once this broke, this is the first time many people heard of her.
Really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You had been...
I think it's interesting, though, that, of course, Bridget Kelly reported to Kevin O'Dowd, the chief of staff, who, of course, is the governor's nominee to be Attorney General of New Jersey. Now, it seems to me that that very fact complicates that nomination, and I think that Kevin O'Dowd is going to have some answering to do.
Because we're talking about, what, a number of investigations, it sounds like, both in New Jersey, and Ross, also looks like the U.S. Congress might be looking at this situation as well.
Right. I mean, certainly this would come under the jurisdiction of the Commerce Committee in the Senate and the Energy and Commerce Committee in the House of Representatives. It's an interstate bridge. And anything that's interstate, of course, you know, brings in Congress and legitimates a congressional investigation.
Well, we're talking about what we're calling the Chris Christie Fort Lee Bridge lane closure scandal, or the George Washington Bridge at Fort Lee, talking with Ross Baker. He's a professor of political science at Rutgers University at their New Brunswick campus. Also with us is Jenna Portnoy, and she covers Governor Christie for the New Jersey Star-Ledger. It is the story of the week, not just here in the Delaware Valley, but across the country. We're taking calls. Any questions or comments, call us at 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. Much more after this very short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Widener Law supports WHYY. Widener Law alumni are serving as judges, corporate lawyers, government officials, and more. In addition to engaging in challenging courses, Widener Law students work on real cases in law clinics. A JD information session will be held on January 11th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Delaware campus. Again, that's January 11th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Registration is available online at law.widener.edu/admissions. Widener Leadership Works.
It's one of the brightest berry bearers you can grow. I'm Mike McGrath, and on the next You Bet Your Garden, we'll tell you how to get the best show from your Pyracantha, a.k.a. Firethorn, plus answers to an especially large selection of your growing questions. That's You Bet Your Garden, Saturday morning at 11, right here on WHYY-FM.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Next time on Here and Now, iconic Israeli singer David Broza's latest album tries to bridge the divide between East and West Jerusalem.
I wanted the Israeli musicians to face and see the Palestinian musicians that I met. And I was hoping they would all come together, which is what happened.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe. I'm talking with Jenna Portnoy and Ross Baker about the George Washington Bridge scandal that has consumed and looks like involved the Chris Christie administration. Our phones have exploded at 1-888-477-9499. Jenna, let me go back to you. You wrote a profile, a piece about Bill Stepien, the former campaign manager to Chris Christie. He apparently convinced him to stop his lobbying to be head of the New Jersey Republican Party. Help us understand who Bill Stepien is.
Bill Stepien is Governor Christie's two-time campaign manager. He's an aggressive political operative. People close to him have called him the best operative in the country. He's a key member of Christie's inner staff. And his departure really leaves a void. When it comes to Bridget Ann Kelly, people have told me that she really took her marching orders from Stepien.
Ah, you write, like his former boss, Stepien has a reputation for nastiness. Yes?
Yes. I mean, he's been called the implementer by some people. You know, he's smart and knows the situation on the ground in New Jersey, in many of the Republican towns. That knowledge gives him a lot of power.
Let me go back to you, Ross. And Chris Christie ended his press conference yesterday basically saying, "I'm not a bully." But there have been stories over the last month or so, as this scandal has gotten some legs, about how he is a bully and has been a bully. And I think we can just go to YouTube and see examples of him yelling at people who have taken issue with some of his positions.
Absolutely. I mean, this actually is very often used by Christie's people as an example of his forthrightness and his directness and so on. And you know, basically it goes with the narrative that, well, occasionally he's a little bit over the top, but don't you want that kind of directness in a governor? But the thing about the lane closures on the George Washington Bridge is that I think it reflects a kind of pettiness in the Christie circle, and a desire to kind of even the score on people. A colleague of mine, a dear colleague of mine, Alan Rosenthal, who was for many, many years one of the outstanding experts on state government. He died recently. Works at the Eagleton Institute here at Rutgers and had gotten a $169,000 grant over the years for work on state legislatures. A completely nonpartisan guy, and he was the tiebreaker on the redistricting commission for the state legislature, and Alan had the temerity to accept the Democratic map for the redistricting of the legislative districts, and for his for his effort being the tiebreaker, he had the money pulled out from under him. I mean, that's just so typical of the way the Christie people operate.
I mean, at this point, Chris Christie has said he had absolutely no idea that this was going on and that he was duped by his own people. But we have to take him at his word so far until we know otherwise. But it seems to me, Ross, that you know, you hire people that reflect who you are. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a politician or a college professor or running a small business somewhere.
Well, that's right, and I think that if you're not that kind of person, you quickly have to be that kind of person, or you don't hang around very long. You know, the word gets down not necessarily by directives, not necessarily by memos, but by the atmosphere in which you work, and you know that the kind of inspiration or the kind of emotional trigger really does come from the top. And so I think that you know, this really is a product of the environment that surrounds the governor. I mean, Jen is much more in touch with that than I am, but as more of an outsider, that's certainly the impression I've always gotten.
Which is why I want to hear from you, Jen. I mean, just you don't have to have an opinion about this, but just sort of up close as you have observed the governor in action.
Sure. I mean, even the governor acknowledges that, you know, his staff and his team has a reputation for being incredibly loyal, incredibly dedicated and committed to the governor. So even if he didn't order anything, and there's certainly no proof that he did at this point, when it came to Fort Lee, people perhaps felt like they were doing his bidding, that this is something that would please him. I think that's the concern.
Help us understand the Port Authority, and you know, we could do a whole probably week's worth of programs about the Port Authority. This is a dual authority between New York and New Jersey, and I'll put this to you, Jenna, and basically sort of running what, the George Washington Bridge and the area there?
Yes, other large infrastructure items in New Jersey and New York. And, you know, the interesting thing about the Port Authority is that the jobs are patronage jobs. You know, Governor Christie appoints the New Jersey side and Governor Cuomo the New York side.
And one
that
of
makes a lot of people, you know, excuse me, a lot of people indebted to the governors for that.
Well, and two of the people that worked on the New Jersey side, appointed by Governor Christie, have did resign back in December. One, Bill Baroni, and the other one is David Wildstein. And Jenna, they're very much a part of this email thread that's gone back and forth.
They are. They are shown in the documents talking and sort of making light of what happens in Fort Lee and emphasizing the fact that this is something that shouldn't be stopped and should go on.
Let me quote something, Ross, and it's not clear who Baroni is talking with, but someone says to him, "I feel badly about the kids." This is when there's such a huge traffic grid, I guess, then the response, they are the children of Buono voters, and this comes from Baroni.
Factually inaccurate and and I think unspeakably callous. That's how I characterize it. You know, Baroni is a veteran political person. I mean, this is somebody who is a state senator, somebody with a very high profile in New Jersey. And, you know, to kind of take that flip attitude toward what was going on, I think demonstrates a kind of callousness and indifference to the real inconvenience that was visited on the people of New Jersey trying to get over to Manhattan.
Let me play. Yeah, go ahead, Jenna.
Well, I was going to say, you know, Bill Baroni is a person who Christie has praised again and again for his work at the Port Authority. So, in December, when Governor Christie had his first sort of long press conference about this, he was there to announce Baroni's resignation, and he said what a great job this person had done for him at the Bi-State Agency. You know, he was singing a different tune yesterday, certainly, but he's, you know, close to Christie.
Let me play something, and this is David Wildstein. He appeared in front of a state assembly committee hearing in Trenton yesterday, pleading the Fifth Amendment after being subpoenaed to appear in front of the committee. He was found in contempt, taking the Fifth Amendment. And here's the Assembly Transportation Committee Chairman John Wisniewski asking Wildstein questions. Let's listen.
So, Mr. Wildstein, I would like to ask you questions about the documents you have submitted to this committee through your attorney. And that document refers to a meeting with Port Authority Chairman David Sampson, does it not?
On the advice of counsel, I assert my right to remain silent.
And that also refers to a meeting with the governor of the same date.
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of counsel, I assert my right to remain silent.
Okay. For the edification of the committee, and I certainly want to ask counsel,
yes, sir,
if it is your client's intention to assert that right on every single question.
Yes, sir.
Rossi obviously has the right to do that. People have the right to assert their privacy, their right to remain silent privilege. Do you think this creates problems for Chris Christie, though?
Well, I think that and this heavily redacted transcripts of the emails, the visuals of it are really quite striking. And when he was holding up the transcripts, it was just a massive of blackouts. I think it's the worst possible thing politically. I mean, certainly constitutionally, he's entitled to do that. But I think what it does, I think it primes people to expect more surprises, and I think prolongs the attention that's going to be given to this.
Jenna, do you know who redacted so much of these emails?
Well, we have to assume that, you know, Mr. Wildstein's attorney did, for what reason we don't know. You know, when Ross says this will continue, he's right. I mean, Assembly Democrats are going to keep pursuing this. They have a list of people they want to subpoena, and you know, they've found something that finally lands a punch on Governor Christie. You know, they're not going to give up.
We have a tweet from Jay. He said, I was in the room when Wildstein pled the fifth, dead silence followed by gasps and camera shutters. So I think a lot of surprise in the room there. We are talking about Chris Christie, the bridge closure, the lane closures that created such a problem in Fort Lee, New Jersey in September. Turns out a member of Chris Christie's staff apparently ordered the closure of two lanes of traffic, creating this gridlock. Talking with Ross Baker, professor of political science at Rutgers University at the New Brunswick campus, and Jenna Portnoy covers Governor Christie for the New Jersey Star Ledger. Let me get some callers in at 1-888-477-9499. We have Mike from Glenside joining us on Radio Times. Mike, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I just wanted to mention that they're probably, if this was actually done with malice, there are state and federal laws governing such things, of course, but one of the main laws is known as risking a catastrophe, which is a felony. And I would see if I would like you to present this to your folks there.
Sure.
And I'll take comments offline.
Mike, thanks for calling into Radio Times. I don't know, Jenna, if you have looked at some of the laws that might be applied to a, you know, the closure of lanes that created such a problem in Fort Lee.
I'm not familiar with the nitty gritty of the laws, but I know that the U.S. Attorney for New Jersey, Paul Fishman, is looking into this. So, you know, stay tuned on that front.
Yeah, and Ross, I mean, this was also, as it turned out, during the week that marked the, what, 12th anniversary or the, I guess, the 11th anniversary? No, the 12th anniversary of September 11th.
Right, and, if, you know, it should be remembered, of course, that the ownership of the World Trade Center that was destroyed was the Port Authority. I mean, the Port Authority is just a huge organization and one of many bi-state organizations. New York, New Jersey and Pennsylvania also have such agencies. And they tend to be places where patronage, a great deal of patronage occurs. In the case of David Wildstein, he had a position created for himself for which there really wasn't any job description. Just a classic example of a political operative being put into an organization which has enormous responsibilities in terms of the transportation in the region.
I do want to go ahead, Jenna.
I'm sorry, but it's been, even though, you know, Governor Christie yesterday made it clear that he wasn't that close with Wildstein, they did go to high school together, and Wildstein has been called the governor's eyes and ears inside the agency.
Mm. And also, this is back to you, Jen, and then we'll get back to our callers. And it was one of the New York, I guess, representatives at the Port Authority that that ended this traffic gridlock.
Ultimately, New York side said, you know, this is ridiculous. We got to put a stop to this.
And they knew nothing apparently about any kind of traffic study. They were not told about it.
Apparently not. I mean, apparently not. And, you know, you have to consider they work for New York Governor Cuomo, a Democrat who we haven't talked about this yet. I'm sure we'll get to it, who may be running for president, as many believe Christie is.
Ah, well, that's interesting. Do you see, Ross, do you see this in national political terms like that, potentially like that?
You know, I would not have dreamed a few months ago that the fate of the 2016 Republican presidential nomination would be influenced by a committee of the New Jersey General Assembly. And I think it's really the case that much of what will be known about the governor, you know, when he makes his national debut, actually he's actually done that, but, you know, when he begins to reach out more, I think is going to be influenced by what Chairman Wisniewski does.
Well, let me see what Al from Newark, Delaware has to say. Al, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. I just wanted to know about the assertion that was made in Huffington Post this morning about the email that from Richard Kelly went out on the 13th, but on the 12th, Senator Weinberg, who Fort Lee falls within her senatorial district. She led the move against Christie's appointment to the state Supreme Court. That seems to be the cause and effect, not the relationship between the mayor of Fort Lee and Christie. Your thoughts?
Al, I appreciate it. And I've heard that theory as well. And Jenna, I wonder whether you've heard that theory as well.
That's a new theory. It came up, as far as I know, the first time it came up was on the Rachel Maddow show last night. Senator Weinberg hasn't endorsed that theory necessarily, but it makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways.
Does it make sense to you, Ross? This is getting into some of the nitty-gritty of New Jersey politics.
Sure does, Marty. And in fact, one of the more memorable utterances of Governor Christie was this suggestion that somebody take a bat to Senator Weinberg, a very ungenerous sort of thing mm-hmm. to say to a venerable lawmaker in New Jersey. But again, a lot of bad blood there.
And this is, again, getting into the weeds, but it's hard not to. I'll toss it to you, Ross. And even looking at the email that came from Bridget Ann Kelly, this was in mid-August. And she says, she writes to David Wildstein, time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee. He quickly says, I think within a minute, got it. Which seems to indicate that there had been some talking about what happened in Fort Lee before this email went out. Wouldn't you say that, Ross?
It seems to suggest that. I mean, it was not as if he asked for an explanation of
what
she meant by that.
What do you mean by traffic problems in Fort Lee?
Exactly. That will definitely go down in the American political lexicon. It is one of the most memorable utterances in a political context.
Where is she today, Jenna? Do you know where Bridget Kelly is?
I don't know. I mean, I know her reporters were staked out at her house all day yesterday. She was asked to leave, not by Governor Christie personally, but by one of his people, the night before the press conference, same thing with Bill Stepien.
And do you know what's going on with the Christie administration today or members of the administration?
Christie has no public schedule today. We can only imagine he's, as he said he would, talking to members of his staff, trying to get to the bottom of this, trying to recover, and trying to prepare for his State of the State address, which is Tuesday.
Wow.
The big speech is the first of a couple for the governor's inauguration speech, his budget speech. I mean, he's got a lot coming up, and this is a headache. He certainly didn't need it this time.
And he did go to Fort Lee yesterday, and it sounds like he and the mayor had some kind of a conversation, Jenna?
Yes, the mayor, they had a private conversation. The mayor said afterward that he accepted the governor's apology.
Well, that's Jenna Portnoy, and she covers Governor Christie for the Newark Star-Ledger. Also with us, Ross Baker, professor of political science at Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey, a member of the Board of Contributors at USA Today. We are talking about what many people are talking about, Chris Christie, the emails that came out earlier this week, and the firing of a deputy aide because she apparently set up a 4 days of gridlock in Fort Lee, Fort Lee, New Jersey. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Hankin Apartments introduces Claremont on the Square LEED Rental Residences in Eagleview, Exton, PA. Two-bedroom, two-bath residences with views and amenities. Claremont on the Square is available for tours. HankinApartments.com.
You must forgive Mary.
I do forgive her.
She is broken and bruised, and it is our job to wrap her up and keep her safe from the world.
Downton Abbey is back. On the next Fresh Air, we feature our interview with the series creator, Julian Fellowes. He'll talk about his own aristocratic background and the class distinctions this series explores. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
A new style and approach at the Federal Reserve.
Janet Yellen has made it very clear that she is interested in kitchen table economics.
Rana Faruhar of Time got the first interview with Janet Yellen partly because Yellen would rather reach ordinary Americans than talk to CNBC or the Wall Street Journal. The new Fed, next time on The Takeaway from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
Supporting WHYY, Maryland Institute College of Art. MICA's Master's of Professional Studies offers business education with creativity. Degrees include information visualization and the business of art and design. Information at mica.edu/HYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane talking with Ross Baker and Jenna Portnoy about the Chris Christie George Washington Bridge scandal. Again, taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, or send us a tweet at Marty Moscoane. Ross, I noticed that there are very few people, either the Democrats or Republicans, who are standing by or even in support of Chris Christie today. Is it just too hot to handle, do you think?
Well, no, I think that if you kind of look at the interpretations by the political people of what he said, I think a substantial number of them felt that it was an incredibly impressive performance, a great emotional pageant, for goodness sake, lasting 2 hours. But I think at this point, I think people are basically being very cautious about their opinions on this, because there's obviously so much more to be revealed. It's interesting that in the Star Ledger this morning, there was a report of a Rasmussen poll indicating that 56% of New Jersey say the governor should resign.
Whoa.
He knew ahead of time that the staff had planned to order the traffic closures. So, I think people are, even Republican operatives, and we've heard a lot from them over the last 24 hours, I think are being circumspect.
Jenna, he was asked that, was he not, yesterday, about whether he would resign or not?
Yeah, he dismissed that completely. That's not an option for him. And I think Ross hit on it. It's whether people believe that he didn't know anything. If people... but by his story, then this could fade from memory. That there's 2 years at this point until the election, until the 2016 presidential election. This could, could fade for people. But if not, it really reinforces the image of Christie as a bully.
Mm. Jenna, a couple of email questions for you. Is there a reason why no one is asking explicitly if Chris Christie was directly involved in the Lane Bridge closing? Was that question explicitly asked yesterday?
Yeah, he's been asked that, and he said no. And that's a high-stakes answer for him, because if it comes out one day that he did know, that he did have direct involvement, it's all over.
Another email, this one from Caroline. I was wondering if your guests could tell us how the emails became public. Were they volunteered or discovered in some way? Jenna, can you explain that?
That's a good question. Sure. Yep. The head of the assembly committee looking into this is John Wisniewski. He subpoenaed documents, and that's how they came to the state, and then they were released publicly.
Let me get, looks like Jeff from Mount Airy to join our conversation. And Jeff, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, hey there.
Good.
Hey, I am I'm no big supporter of the governor, and yet I think that this is an example of a media frenzy. Something happened. It needs to be investigated. But I would suggest that if the governor were not a potential candidate, none of this would be happening.
Well, let me tell you what we're doing, which is, this is the first show that we have done on it, and I appreciate the comment, and actually I want to hear from Ross Baker as well, which is that this is a story that has been with many unanswered questions, I would say, since September. Members of the Port Authority that were appointed by Chris Christie did resign in December. Of course, these emails released earlier in the week. The firing of a deputy staff member by Chris Christie yesterday. To me, these have all the hallmarks of an important story to talk about and to understand. And of course, Ross, Chris Christie is Chris Christie.
No, I think your caller is correct in the sense that certainly the attention that's being lavished on this is magnified by the fact that it's pretty well known the governor wants to run for president in 2016. But I think, this is really kind of a unique situation, and that is that the lane closures and the extended 4-day traffic jams are something that everybody can connect with. so much political scandal involves insider stuff that people find it hard to kind of access. So I think there's something very personal here, and something that was done by by public officials to the public, which was mean and unseemly.
And I think another reason this struck a nerve with people is because it's so sort of against brand for Governor Christie. He's a former federal prosecutor who built his career really rooting out public corruption. He's always talking about how bipartisan he is, and this runs counter to that.
And also, just going back to some of the emails, Jenna, is it just how insulting they are, for instance, to the mayor of Fort Lee, calling him an idiot, calling him the Serbian. He's not even Serbian. Mm-hmm. He's apparently his Croatian ancestry.
Yes, and Governor Christie said several times, you know, yesterday that it was the tone, the callous indifference, things like that, that made him, you know, clean house among his staff.
What do you be looking for, Jenna? I mean, this is a story you have been writing about, been following. What you must have many, many questions.
Yeah, I think the biggest question is ultimately why the lanes were closed to begin with. I think that would help answer a lot of questions. And then how this haunts or follows Governor Christie, if it does, as he mounts his it makes his case for 2016. I mean, that really is why everybody is so focused on this. He's got a new national leadership role as chairman of the Republican Governors Association. That means he'll be traveling the country next year. Well, traveling the country this year, actually, ahead of congressional elections and ahead of 36 governors races this year. So, you know, we'll see him a lot.
And Ross, what questions are you looking for the answers to?
Well, the thing that interests me, of course, is the fact that the target or the alleged target of this lane closure, the mayor of Fort Lee, a Democratic mayor, you know, why him? And the answer has a great deal to do with Governor Christie's desire to be seen as a bipartisan figure in national politics. You know, it's part of his brand. In a sense, it kind of goes back to the question that came in before, you know, is too much being made of this? And I think that if the governor had not been so consistent in characterizing himself as bipartisan and someone who can nationally reach across party lines, I think perhaps there would have been less attention paid to it. It would have been seen as sort of a kind of a local spat.
You know, Jenna, I think a lot of us have seen the press conference that Chris Christie had in December, where he really was irked by questions and was very combative with reporters and others who were there asking him questions about this whole lane closure brouhaha. Did Chris Christie yesterday in any way kind of apologize for being so sort of arrogant about it?
He did. I mean, he, as you alluded to in December, he said very flip, I was working the cones, I put on a hat and overalls, and I was out there on the bridge. He said yesterday that he certainly wouldn't have made those statements if he realized sort of this was connected to his administration and the severity of it. He directly did apologize for that. And, you know, to be fair to him, I think it's rare to see a politician go out there and take every question for 2 hours. Yep. Some people are calling it overkill. Others are saying this is his great strength.
Does he get credit for that, Ross?
Well, I think it was an unusual and I think uncharacteristically humble, as humble as Governor Christie can be, performance. But, you know, one of the things I've always thought about the governor is he does something that I think is, you know, has rather unattractive quality to it. He questions the motives of people who have policy differences with him. You know, he sort of, you know, accuses them of always hidden agendas and sort of kind of conspiratorial in a way. And you know, that I think is that certainly that came out in a lot of the town meetings that he conducted throughout the state, and that disagreement, I mean, even when it was ventured very timidly, was attacked almost viciously by the governor.
Let me get looks like Sam from West Philadelphia to join our conversation. And Sam, go ahead, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I never hear of anybody in government who screws up being fired. Does this word fired mean they're just going to disappear for a short time while still on the government payroll and then appear in the future on some obscure government position when Christie moves up?
Well, of course, Sam, we don't know the answer to that question, but let me take your premise. And, Ross, is it true that no one ever gets fired in politics?
This is really funny, Marty. About 3 weeks ago, I had an article in USA Today addressing that specific question.
Right.
And the title of it was, "Does anybody in D.C. get fired?" And, of course, that was apropos of the bungled rollout of the Obamacare website. And it really is true. And one of the interesting things about presidents and governors is they don't like to fire people. And in the case of people like particularly Bill Stepien, I mean, this is somebody who had come along with Christie for a long time, was a major advisor and so on, and you get this bond of loyalty between the principal and the staff that is very, very, very strong. And it makes it very difficult for people to be fired, and very often they do surface, but usually on cable TV talk shows.
But certainly not on NPR.
No.
Jenna, let me go back to you. When Barone and Wildstein resigned from the Port Authority, this was December. What were their reasons that they gave for resigning?
They both said that they planned to leave anyway at the start of Christie's second term, but that this issue had become a distraction. You can interpret that, you know, kind of as you want to, and that's why they were leaving.
Let me get, looks like Peter from Chestnut Hill to join our conversation. And Peter, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, yesterday I listened to most of the press conference, and I really feel it's a failure of the Fourth Estate for asking the most basic question. The governor said that he spoke to Megyn Kelly and Stepien about this in an investigation the day before, and no reporter asked him why they did what they did. And I don't understand that at all. It's the most basic question of all.
Well, Peter, I'm glad you raised it, and let me toss it to Jenna.
Sure. I mean, just to clarify the timeline a little bit, Governor Christie said that 4 weeks ago he told everyone on his staff, you know, if you knew anything about this, come to Kevin O'Dowd or Charlie McKenna, two of his top people. He said nobody came forward. Now, you know, then yesterday Governor Christie said that Bridget Ann Kelly and Bill Stepien had to go essentially because they lied. They never came forward and said they knew anything. The governor did not talk to them yesterday. He basically said he didn't need to. He knew everything he needed to know.
But I mean, was he asked about why he was – I mean, it was more than just that they lied, but that they were involved in doing something that was so potentially dangerous in Fort Lee?
Well, and, you know, their actions directly embarrassed him. I mean, he came out and publicly said, nobody connected to me, nobody on my staff, nobody on my campaign had anything to do with this. Well, yes, they did.
Let me get, looks like Clinton from Drexel Hill to join us on Radio Times. A lot of interest in Pennsylvania about New Jersey politics. And Clinton, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, two of your guests were mentioning how Chris Christie showed courage last night when he spoke for about 100 minutes in length. And I say that was a political tactic, and that has been used many times as to bore the reporters into not asking the tough questions. And a lot of reporters were tweeting how they were bored, and they really ran out of questions to ask. And they didn't really ask the real important question as to what his chief of staff actually knew and didn't know about what his deputy chief of staff knew or didn't know.
Was he not
asked? I'll take my comment off the air.
Clinton, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Jenna, first to you, was he not asked what Clinton said he should have been asked?
Well, I don't think, first of all, I don't think it was boring. I mean, I think it was pretty riveting the whole time. He wasn't directly asked if, I think he might have been actually asked if
he was,
if,
Jenna.
Wasn't he? Yeah.
No, go ahead, Ross.
I watched the whole thing. It was totally engrossing. And that question was asked, and he dodged it. He said, you know, the whole question was somebody lied to me. And that was it. That was supposed to end the argument.
And you have to understand his tactic here. I mean, he... you can almost like imagine sort of like the communication strategy. He is trying his best to turn the biggest scandal of his political life into an opportunity to explain to potential 2016 voters the philosophy on his leadership, right? This is his chance to sort of try to make something good out of the situation.
But Ross, was it stonewalling? It sounds like that's what Clinton thinks he saw.
Yeah, I mean, I think that particular issue was. I think he sort of wanted to have the discussion end with Bridget Ann Kelly lied to me, and, you know, end of story. But I think the larger question is, you know, what was it that would have caused Bridget Ann Kelly to do such a thing to begin with?
And I'm assuming, go ahead, Jen. I'm assuming she'll be certainly asked that question. Whether she answers it, I guess only time will tell.
Jenna? If she comes before the committee, absolutely, you know, she will be. And when it comes to Kevin O'Dowd, you know, Christie, that's his chief of staff. Christie appointed him or nominated him to be attorney general. So he has to be confirmed by the Senate. But there's a chance that that's in jeopardy now as well.
Well, we could go on. There are many more questions still to be asked and answered. My thanks to both of you for joining us today in Radio Times. Jenna Portnoy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And she covers Governor Chris Christie for the New Jersey Star-Ledger. Ross Baker, as always, thank you very much as well.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome. And he's Professor, a little pregnant pause there, Professor of Political Science at Rutgers University in the New Brunswick campus. He is a member of the Board of Contributors at USA Today. We appreciate all those phone calls to Radio Times and emails as well. You can continue this conversation if you go to our homepage, whyy.org/Radio Times. You can certainly leave a comment there. While you're there, check us out on Twitter, Facebook, the archives. You can find out how to listen to the show on satellite radio and how to download podcasts. There we go. Bob Ball's the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times. It's produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, Debbie Builder, and Emily Bryant. I'm Marty Moscowen. Thank you so much for joining us.